everything in this world conspires to take away what God has given us in Christ Jesus, the truths he has given us. Every distraction comes from Satan. You know, he was the serpent in the old days. He just slithered and he moved to and fro. He distracts you. He moves and he has all sorts of audiovisual effects. Television, the news, your magazines, soccer league, your job. So many things want to break apart your attention from the focus on Christ. And the focus on Christ is critical at this era in history. It's always critical, but especially now, because I truly believe we are nearing the end of this eon. We want to be found thinking about these things. Whatever things are just, holy, pure, think on these things. It's not that we have to. Even if we're asleep, even if we're drowsing to these truths, we're going to be snatched away together with him, because this is an era of grace. But how much better to be paying attention. I thank you that you're listening to this show. That's great. Listen to this show. Follow along in the scriptures and order Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. It's brief thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter to the church. This is the book I'm basing these studies on, and I would love it if you followed along with me. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 is where Paul tells Timothy, "The ideal thing committed to you, guard through the Holy Spirit, which is making its home in us." This is an ideal thing that has been committed to you. And I know it's easy to envy somebody else because God has committed other things to other people. Some people are committed with large amounts of money. Some people have, you know, copious amounts of vacation time committed to them. And they have a nice house. They have esteem. They have fame in this world. Whatever, there are a million things you can envy other people for. But what we're talking about is the ideal thing. It is so easy not to see what God has given you as ideal. It's like, well, all I have is this. All you have is this truth? You want to have money instead? Oh my gosh. You know, I used to want to be a famous writer. Oh, if God could just, you know, give me an article in the New York Times or the Reader's Digest or give me a best-selling novel. This stuff is Ritz crackers compared to the caviar of this message. I don't know, I just thought of that analogy off the top of my head. It's not that good, but it'll suffice for the moment. This is gold. I mean, you are going to cash this in later. You're storing up treasure in heaven. I want you to see this. You know, stop envying what other people have. I know this saps your strength. Those intending to be rich in this eon fall into a snare and a trap. It's not money that's the root of all evils. It's the love of money. The love of money, and worst of all, the chasing of money. You think that's an ideal thing? No. Devoutness with contentment is great capital. That's in 1 Timothy somewhere. I think around chapter 2. No, chapter 6. Right, chapter 6. Contentment, devoutness, this message, the ideal thing committed to you. This ideal thing, knowing about who God is, what he's doing, becoming a son and a daughter of God, being a member of the body of Christ, you're being primed for great things in the future. In the future, what you have now is going to be manifested, and it's going to blow to bits everything you thought was so great in this life. You know, I think a lot of you are feeling these things slipping away, and that can be brutal. You have a goal in life. You have a dream. You know, you want to see your kids attain to something. You want to see yourself attain to something. You always thought you'd have a better house. You always thought things would turn out better, didn't you? And as life goes on, you have these mounting disappointments. Well, I tell you this, that you're listening to my voice, and that you're hearing this message of 2 Timothy, and that you're learning of these treasures we have, gold, silver, precious stones. It is these things, friends, that are going to survive the fire. It is these things that you do take with you. We bring nothing into the world, and it is evident, at least it should be, but it isn't to most people, that there's nothing we can take out of this world. This is also in 1 Timothy chapter 6. So where are we putting our treasure? We should be putting it in knowledge and understanding. And Paul prays for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in order to grasp these things. So we're going to look at this upcoming here. So the ideal thing committed to you, guard it. Guard it through the Holy Spirit. I'll admit that the Holy Spirit has to help you do this. because you just can't do it on your own. And I'm going to tell you some good news here. Are you ready for this? This is in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Are you not aware? What's the matter with you people? This is what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. You're a temple of God. You know, God used to, there was a time when God dwelt in the Garden of Eden, and then he dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem. It was an amazing place. Imagine, God lives there. Now where does he live? He lives in us. We are now the new temple of God. There is no temple in Jerusalem. God dwells in us, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. It's making its home in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, are you not aware you're a temple of God and the Spirit of God is making its home in you? I pray that you come to a greater realization of the presence of this Spirit within you. I once heard A.E. Nock say that the greatest gift he had in life was his God awareness. As he went through his day, he was constantly aware of the keeping power of God, of the Holy Spirit. That thing never sleeps. That thing, the Spirit of God, never sleeps. You know, your heart never sleeps. You keep breathing even when you're unconscious. Well, the Spirit of God is in you. And I want you to be aware of that more every day. And it is going to keep, it is going to help you. It is going to do it for you. But I want you to cooperate with this to guard that thing that is in you. And I don't just want it to guard. I want it to make you aware of just what kind of treasure, what kind of gift you've been given. Guard it. Because again, many things are going to steal it from you. You're going to seek to steal it. The wisdom of humanity, the wisdom of the world, the snares of the world, like trying to get a better job, trying to get more money. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying if you lose your peace over it, you're blowing it. You're blowing it. If you're losing your peace over trying to get a better job or trying to make more money or get a bigger house or a better car, if you lose your peace, you're missing out on the greatest joy in this life. That is letting go and knowing that He is God. So this Spirit that makes its home in us, it's doing many things for us that we can't do. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now, turn a couple pages back there. I'm going to go to verse 11. That which is of God, not one knows, except the Spirit of God. Now we obtained not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may be perceiving that which is being graciously given to us by God. We talked about this last week. I don't think I started with verse 11, though. That which is of God, not one knows except the Spirit of God. This is the innate intelligence of the Spirit that is within you. And it knows everything about God. And it informs you. And it's this Spirit that is going to keep you. Oh, along this line, I love Romans 8:26. Now, similarly, the Spirit also, this Spirit is working overtime, just like our heart and our lungs, except this Spirit is much more durable. Now, similarly, the Spirit also is aiding our infirmity, for what we should be praying for to accord with what must be, we're not aware, but the Spirit itself is pleading for us with inarticulate groanings. The Spirit knows what it's about. The Spirit knows what it's doing. Okay, now back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. The ideal thing committed to you, guard through the Holy Spirit, which is making its home in us. And we verified that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Holy Spirit's making its home in you. This is the Spirit that is guarding the wonderful message, the wonderful gift of grace and knowledge that has been given to you. And it is also this Spirit that is making you aware, that is causing you to perceive that which is being graciously given to you by God. Now, there's a parallel passage here to 2 Timothy 1:14, guard. Paul wants Timothy to guard it. Guard it. Guard this thing that is in you. And I think Paul is concerned here. I'm not going to say he's worried, but I'm going to say that his main man, Timothy, was beginning to slip, reminding him, you know, of that when Paul placed his hands on him, he's reminding him about all the great things he learned through his mother and his grandmother. He's reminding him not to be timid, not to be ashamed. So Timothy is on the brink here of being lost. And Paul's reminding him of the same things I'm reminding you of. Because some of you right now may be on the brink of being lost. I don't mean lost as to salvation. No, your aeonian life is secure because it's not based on your acts, 2 Timothy 1:9. But you're going to lose that precious God consciousness. And then the things of the earth are going to overflow you. And the worries of this current eon are going to distract you and overwhelm you. And you may be in danger of losing the high calling in Christ Jesus by chasing the wind, i.e. temporary, temporal gain in this eon that is quickly coming crashing down. And I don't want that to happen to you. So look at this parallel passage in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, last chapter of 1 Timothy, verse 20. O Timothy, that which is committed to you, guard, turning aside from the profane prattlings and antipathies of falsely named knowledge, which some are professing, as to the faith they swerve. I love this passage. That which is committed to you, guard, same exact wording in 2 Timothy, so this is obviously important to Paul. And Paul wants Timothy to turn aside from profane prattlings. What are profane prattlings? Prattling is the Greek word kenophonia. It's empty sound. Those are the two elements in the English. Empty sound. Paying attention to empty noises, things that have no consequence, non-weighty things, things that are empty. We're receiving the full orbed revelation. Remember, I love that phrase, full orbed? Yeah, we're receiving the full orbed revelation of God. The farthest thing from profane prattlings. Profane means not held sacred. Now, I'm not saying you can't talk about football or have fun talking about other things that interest you besides the scriptures, but be careful that we don't focus all our energies on that which is empty, on that which is not going to survive the testing fire of the dais of Christ. Be careful that we're not trying to take something out of this world that it would be impossible for us to take. I'm sorry, you're not going to take your car. Antipathies, what the heck are those? The Greek is antithesis. That's the Greek word. It's exactly our English word, antithesis. And the Greek elements, the English elements there are instead placing, putting other things in the place of this God consciousness and this Christ consciousness and this message that we are heralding. Go to Clyde Pilkington's site, studyshelf.com, and go to Bible Students Radio. It's a great feature. You're going to hear teachings running 24/7. You're going to hear teachings from me, from Dan Sheridan, from Clyde Pilkington, from James Flanders. Read articles at concordant.org. I'm not telling you just focus on this 24 hours a day, but read enough of it so that during the day you're conscious of it and it helps you keep a perspective. Not all your bets are placed on the table of this eon. You have something else that's always going to comfort you no matter what goes wrong. You can say, well, I'm a member of the body of Christ. What's wrong with that? I don't see why we can't use this to be happy. This is supposed to be a practical help. We're supposed to get joy out of this. It's not supposed to be some holy thing that we know just so we can know it. No, it's supposed to do something for us. So when people, you know, just run you down or you lose your job or things go bad, well, at least I'm a member of the body of Christ and someday soon I'm going to be manifested before the universe as a glorified Son of God. You know, that should really comfort you and that should help make things a little bit better. And not everybody has that. That's a special salvation for you. You do have a special salvation, all right? Not everybody has it. Why not let it comfort you? It's not selfish or soulish to think that. Paul's telling us these things so that they'll make us happy and joyful. It's not just stuff we're supposed to know. Let it do something for you. Oh, falsely named knowledge. I don't have time for this. I want to talk about this falsely named knowledge and as to the faith they swerve at the end of 1 Timothy 6:20. I'm going to have to do that for you tomorrow. I've been wishing people a happy new year. Don't know why, but I do know why, because I actually want people to have a happy new year, but I always end it with, or have an average new year if you want. This ain't Joel Osteen where every day's a Friday. We're in a tough eon. There's a better one ahead, and we're going to get through this together. This has been Martin Zender. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow. Tune in then. God bless you all.